Hi, I'm Rowan Molyneux and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. This week we'll be looking at a well-known haunting from the late 60s, which came to prominence in the 80s with the publication of Colin Wilson's book Poltergeist, a classic study in destructive hauntings. You may have heard of this case being referred to by the address at which it happened, 30 East Drive, or its more dramatic name, the Black Monk of Pontefract. Today's episode of Oddity is brought to you by ShipStation. Do you sell online? eBay, Amazon, Magento? Then you need ShipStation. It's a fast and easy way to manage and dispatch your orders, all from one place. When you're selling online, it can be tough to get orders out of the door quickly. But whether you're using Amazon, eBay, Shopify, or over 60 other popular selling channels, ShipStation brings all of your orders into one place, making the process a whole lot more simple. You can use ShipStation to compare rates from top couriers, including Royal Mail, FedEx, DHL, and UPS. And whether you have one or hundreds of orders, ShipStation makes it easy to batch and print labels, so you can get orders out quickly and keep your customers happy. And now you can try ShipStation free for 30 days. Plus, get a special bonus when you use the promotion code ODDITY. To take advantage of this special promotion, just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in ODDITY. That's ShipStation.com, then enter the promotion code ODDITY. ShipStation. Make ship happen. Pontefract is a historic market town in West Yorkshire, fairly close to Wakefield. The area's deep sandy soil made it perfect for growing licorice, and since medieval times, Pontefract has had a close association with the plant. Despite it no longer being grown there on a large scale, there is a steady sweet industry based there, and the town even holds an annual licorice festival. Since the 1960s, however, the town has been known for something a little less sweet. It all began on the August bank holiday weekend of 1966. Some of the Pritchard family had gone down to Devon on holiday, leaving 15-year-old Philip and his grandma, Sarah Scholes, at home in Pontefract. At first everything seemed normal, but they were about to experience the start of something that would eventually end up with their address, 30 East Drive, being known throughout the nation. It started when Sarah was alone in number 30. It was warm and sunny outside, perfect August weather, but she suddenly felt a gust of cold wind blow through the house. Later, when Philip got home, he noticed that the living room was covered in a fine white powder. At first he and Sarah assumed that it must be falling from the recently redecorated ceiling. However, they gradually came to realise that the powder seemed to be falling not from the ceiling, but in fact somehow appearing in mid-air. Baffled, Sarah went to fetch her daughter Marie, who lived just across the road. She didn't know what to make of the white powder gently settling over the surfaces of the living room either. Marie went into the kitchen to get a cloth to wipe the powder up, and slipped in a puddle of water that had appeared on the kitchen floor. She cleaned up the puddle, but more pools of water kept mysteriously appearing on the linoleum, sometimes forming right in front of her eyes. This, as we have seen before with other cases, is said to be a classic element of poltergeist activity, though of course the family didn't know that at the time. They were now not just confused, they were starting to become a bit unnerved. A neighbour popped over to see what all the fuss was about, and being a sensible sort, she located the stopcock and turned the water off. This practical measure made no difference whatsoever, and the puddles kept appearing. Worried that they might be caused by a leaky pipe or faulty drain, Marie rang up the water board to report the mysteriously appearing puddles. Later that afternoon, a water board employee turned up to check it out. Unfortunately, he was just as confused as they were. His checks had found nothing amiss, and all he could suggest was that it could be condensation. About an hour after he left, the puddles stopped appearing. Everything was quiet for a little while, but later that evening, Sarah heard Philip call from the kitchen. "Grandma, it's happening again. She hurried over and took in the scene. Sugar and dry tea leaves were scattered all over the kitchen worktop. As they watched, the button on the tea dispenser slowly moved in and out of its own accord, emptying the dispenser of tea. "Stop it!" Sarah shrieked, and no sooner were the words out of her mouth than they heard a loud crash in the hallway. Holding their breath, they opened the hall door, not knowing what they would see. There was nothing there. The hallway lay in darkness, quiet and still. Suddenly the light clicked on. They jumped out of their skin and looked at each other, horrified. Neither Phil nor his grandma had touched the light switch. Further investigation revealed what had made the noise. A houseplant which usually sat at the foot of the stairs was now halfway up the staircase, and its plant pot was on the upstairs landing. The chaos was unrelenting. The kitchen crockery cupboard started shaking and rattling, banging noises were heard from elsewhere in the house, and the air had turned unseasonably cold. Grasping for an explanation, Sarah checked with the next-door neighbours in case they were causing the banging noises. She was met with a chilling reply. "We thought it was you." By about 9:30 that night, things seemed to have calmed down. But as Sarah went into Philip's room to say goodnight, a heavy chest of drawers started moving of its own accord. That was the last straw. They legged it out of the house and stayed with their neighbours. When Philip's parents and sister got back from their holiday, they were in for a strange tale. By then the phenomena had stopped, and you'd have to wonder how much they really believed of what Sarah and Philip told them. Everything stayed quiet for a couple of years, but the troubles in that house were only just beginning. According to the website 30eastdrive.com, which, it must be noted, seems to be there primarily as a means for ghost hunting groups to book paid stays in the house, 30 East Drive has played host to some particularly theatrical activity over the years. Green foam spewed forth from the taps and toilet, a jug of milk was poured over a visiting aunt, and on one occasion, disembodied hands seemed to fill a pair of women's gloves and mockingly conduct a Christian song being sung as an attempt to repel the apparent presence. Despite the occurrences being unnerving, the Pritchards didn't want to move out of the house and began to refer to the poltergeist as Fred. The local press, having got hold of the story, called it Mr. Nobody. But it wasn't all nicknames and slapstick. Objects would fly through the air and crash to the floor. Upside-down crosses were daubed on the walls of the lounge, and crucifixes kept in the house were destroyed. The focus of this second phase of haunting seemed to be Philip's younger sister, Diane. She is said to have been frequently thrown from her bed, and, at the height of the violence, was even dragged upstairs by her neck. After this seriously disturbing assault, the girl was left with marks on her throat. As we saw in Season 1 when we looked at the Enfield case, teenagers, especially girls, often appear to be the focus of any poltergeist-type activity in a house. Both periods of activity coincide with the Pritchard kids being in their mid-teens, first Philip, then, in the second round of activity, Diane. It seems that Diane really got the worst of it. Around the time that the activity escalated into violent attacks, the family also began to see a physical manifestation. It was reported that, as Jean and Joe Pritchard lay in bed one night, they witnessed a figure in a black cloak, hovering over them. With a description like that, I would usually suggest that it sounds exactly like the sort of thing one might see while experiencing sleep paralysis. But if they both saw it at the same time, this explanation poses a bit of a problem. Other family members and visitors also allegedly saw a figure in a monk's habit hanging around the house. Shortly after this, the phenomena stopped completely, and never bothered the family again. There was a theory floating round that the poltergeist was actually the spirit of a 16th century monk hanged for the rape and murder of a young woman. It's believed that the town gallows actually used to stand close to 30 East Drive. However, Colin Wilson, who brought the case back to public attention in 1981 with his book Poltergeist, actually did some digging into the local records. He found no evidence at all that such a monk had ever existed. In 2012, the haunting at 30 East Drive received another publicity boost, this time somewhat embellished and in the form of a horror film called When the Lights Went Out. The director, Pat Holden, is actually Gene Pritchard's nephew, and remembers being told about the events at the time by his family members. The premiere of the film was actually held in the house itself, as the Pritchard family sold 30 East Drive to the film's producer, Bill Bungay. Since then, the house has been booked solid with visiting ghost hunting groups, who pay upwards of £300 a night to stay in the house. The website via which you can book sternly informs potential visitors that no Ouija boards are to be used on the property, and that attempting exorcisms is forbidden. A little link at the bottom of the booking page offers to sell you a protection spell performed by, according to the description, a local medium, for an extra £10. Bargain. The house has also played host to TV shows like Most Haunted. In a bid to vaguely recreate the environment in which the events occurred, the house has been kitted out with 70s-style furniture. It's also been filled with eerie china dolls for no discernible reason other than to scare people. But it has been working, whether it's the old-school decor, the creepy dolls, or possibly something a little weirder. The visitor comments on the website are testimony to the fact that people have been experiencing something at 30 East Drive. One visitor wrote, "My friend will now not return, and my dad, who is a lifelong skeptic, is now a firm believer. It was a very frightening experience." Another commented, "I think you need to warn people. If they're sensitive, it will affect them. There is serious stuff going on in that house, but not worth the after effects." Whether these testimonials are down to something actually haunting the house, or whether the visitors have psyched themselves up to experience something no matter what, is debatable. I think it is worth noting that from the late 60s up until the film came out, nothing much really seemed to have happened at 30 East Drive. But then some might argue that if the phenomena there was sparked by heightened states of emotion, it would make sense that the excited groups of visitors crowding into the house hoping to see something might be likely to kick things off again. A couple of years ago, we were living in Wakefield. We were driving over to visit Pontefract Castle and decided to take a quick detour. After driving through some quiet little roads, we reached 30 East Drive. All we saw is the outside, obviously, but it just looked utterly normal. The sort of basic suburban house you could see throughout most of the country. But I suppose that's part of why it's become so popular and captured the public's imagination in the way that it has. If it was a creepy, ramshackle old place, one could easily brush off any real lasting scariness by thinking, well, it's a spooky house, of course spooky things are going to happen there. But when terrifying, violent, paranormal assaults are allegedly occurring in a house which looks just as ordinary as your own, that's when the boundaries begin to blur, and the real horror can creep in. You might start jumping at the everyday noises of your own home, and second-guessing the shadow of the dressing gown hanging on the back of your bedroom door. If it can happen at somewhere like 30 East Drive, why can't it happen at your house? Thank you for listening to Oddity. If you have any suggestions for topics you'd like to hear discussed in future episodes, you can get in touch at Oddity Podcast on Twitter, or, if you prefer, email, odditypod@gmail.com. Join me, Rowan Molyneux, next time, for another journey into the strange and unexplained.